tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Gurmila Mahagut Pat, and welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today, 1800-938-007. Glad to be joined now by our GP, Dr. Pat Harold. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Fred.
And good to talk to you today. Any news for us on vaccine rollout, Pat? Have you been supplied yet?
Fred, I am so happy because now we just got confirmation at 5 o'clock yesterday evening that we're getting the vaccine and we're going to start. We're going to start giving them on Friday. So this is now for the over 85s age group. But, Fran, we're so delighted because it's you know, it's like, in some ways, the HSE are actually pretty good, you know, and they do seem to have a plan. I heard Paul Reid on the radio, and I have to say I'm kind of impressed by Paul Reid in the last year. You know, the man seems to have no ego whatsoever. He just sort of says it as it is. But they do definitely have a problem with communication. And, you know, it does take a little bit of time to mobilise people. But I think every GP in the country should, in the next week, be getting to the over 85 age group, which is great. Now, they have a small problem with people who just can't leave the house whatsoever. I know they did the, you know, which I didn't really think of, a lot of nuns and Christian brothers and priests and people like that are retired, and they've been got, the Sioux Riders have been got, the Dorset homes have been got. And already you can see the numbers coming down in ICU and the numbers coming down among the healthcare workers.
And in passing, that you mentioned about the people at home, Pat. Is there any plan for that, people who are immobile?
Yeah. Well, we've been told now if there's people who you know, can't get into the car, that there is going to be a provision that they, I think, they'll arrange things with St. John's Ambulance, the Aldermot, that kind of thing. We haven't even, you know, I only heard yesterday evening, but I think if there's people who absolutely can't leave the house, they're not going to be left behind. The message is nobody gets left behind. But the big thing, I suppose, is just for GPs, we are just doing 70 up. You know, we can't go to 69, 11 months, you know, 70 up. And we'll be doing them in batches. So that's this awful expression, don't call us, we'll call you. But we will call you. And we'll get you sorted out. And they've changed the rules slightly, that if you've got somebody 85 and up, and they have a partner who's between 70 and 85, they can come get along with them and get done as well.
Very good.
But so we're looking forward to a bit of a party atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah. You will make contact with the people, though, and we're just at pains to point that out, Pat.
Like, we will make contact with the people. And can I say, the great Dolly Parton, they might have seen going on social media that Dolly got, she got vaccinated.
I didn't see
and,
that, no.
Yeah, well, Dolly put loads of money into Moderna and got everybody else to do it too. So, but she's some smart woman because she wore this kind of a top and it had two little triangles on the shoulders, right on the spot where you'd be vaccinated. And the reason she did that was that shows you the bit you have to get there. So if you're coming in for your vaccine, you've taken off three coats and, you know, three jackets and all this kind of thing. The thing is to wear something you can just pull down and get you at the top of the shoulder side of it.
Right, because speed is so important, of course. Yes.
So if you've anybody 85, I'd start thinking about, this is just like, I know an awful lot of GPs have got it done already, but an awful lot haven't. So it might be news to you. You know, maybe get the transport, you know, if somebody ready to go. In our case, it'll be Brenda Murnan and my practice, it'll be Friday afternoon. Somebody ready to do the driving you know, and have the clothes right. It's great news. I'm delighted.
It's brilliant. Now, I heard about one practice in Dublin, though, where the vaccine arrived, but not enough syringes and stuff. Is all that sorted out, Pat?
Yeah, that happened in a case in Shannon as well. They didn't come with it. We don't know, because I know my friend Alona Duffy, a lot of our vaccine went to a practice in the Midlands. And, you know, I mean, you just can't throw them in the boot of the car and drive up to Monaghan with them. You know, once they're landed in, they have to stay, you know, you've just a window to do it. It's very tight.
Right.
You know, and you have to do all the vaccines there. And most people will have a sort of a standby list. So if you know, if you've got three left over, then there'd be people 80 to 85 would be ready to go.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Are you already getting calls though from people, even though that's
always been getting calls?
Appropriate, yeah.
And I really have to say that the administrative staff and the receptionists and all that of Ireland should need special medicine because they've got desperate abuse and desperate hardship and desperate people hassling them and everything, which sounds terrible. But you know, we have to do it by the guidelines because that's just the way, and it's very straight about it. And you know, you can't stray out that
right.
And you can't say to somebody who's 50 with a bad heart, much as we'd love to come on in and do it, we just can't do that. You know, some things you just have to do by the book, and we have to do this by the book.
Right, of course you have. Just one of our listeners saying, when you ask Pat, should a person over 88 who has had COVID get the vaccine?
I think the guidance for that is if they've had it within, if it's more than a month, yes.
Yes, okay.
I think for the month after you've been diagnosed, you're okay. Now, you're probably okay for 6 months, you know, as far as we know, you're probably immune. But the big thing about it is even if you've had COVID, you've got a very strong antibody response to the vaccine, so you're more immune.
Right.
And let me tell you, Fran, I'm now 2 weeks after my second one. It's a great feeling. You know, you just feel liberated.
I'm
you know,
sure.
People going on about civil liberties and all this kind of thing. You just don't realise how oppressive it is. You know, you're going up to town and some sort of cuffs beside you or something like that. How we've been all feeling for the last year. And even though you're not throwing away the mask, you have to keep washing your hands and you're using the hand sanitizers and we're doing all that, but you just have a feeling of security that is just bloody great.
I
could highly recommend it to everybody.
I'm sure it is indeed. Those of your patients that you might be treating for asthma and the like, just a lot of questions has come in on this, Pat. Would you be taking that into account when you're calling them in? How will that work? Because, of course, people are concerned about allergies and one thing and another.
Yeah, the main thing is if you've anaphylaxis to any of the ingredients in the, I think it's the Pfizer vaccine.
That's like severe reaction, is it?
That's anaphylaxis. It's like a bad allergy where your face blows up and you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Now, there'd be very, very few. You see, like, there's been, I don't know, 12 million of these given. Just counting, I mean, they're just flying up millions and millions all around the world. And it isn't a huge problem. But if you've got every commoner day garden asthma, there's no worries whatsoever. But, you know, everybody will be consenting and you'll be talking to a healthcare professional in the practice you're booked into. And you can take it all up with them. You know, I don't want to say anything generic.
Of course.
Things. Jeez, I'm grand anyway. I heard it on the radio, you know. But, you know, just... the vast majority of people have nothing to worry about.
We'll be fine. I presume it's Pfizer you'll be vaccinating people with.
We're told it's Pfizer, but some people are getting Moderna.
Right.
Which is the Dolly Parton one.
Right. And you have no issues with that whatsoever, do you?
Not at all. No. Take the first vaccine you're given.
Right.
And it's beginning to come out in real terms, you know. Pfizer, Moderna, Astra, doesn't matter. You know, you've got great coverage no matter what it is.
Right, so take...
You know, so don't worry about it. And, you know, there's a bit of a thing called astro snobbery. People say, well, I'm not with the right age group. And some people think, you know, they say, well, if you're a bit heavy, maybe the Pfizer mightn't work as well. You know, it's if you get offered a vaccine, get it.
Right.
And get it, and then you've got great security.
Yeah, coverage. I know it's an issue, particularly in France, where people are saying they don't want the Astra. They want something else.
Yeah, and then you see, as the data comes out, that they might regret it because it doesn't always bear up. You know, I think is a bit of evidence, so they might just it's quite on the cards now. I mean, I've had my two Modernas that you know, as a different variant comes out of Brazil or somewhere, that I'd be looking at a third jab. You know, in a few months' time, they'll rejiggle it again. And it's probably, it'll probably be a 4 or 5 in a syringe in a couple of years' time, and we'll be getting it every couple of years. Like, it'll be much the same as
your flu jab.
Your flu or the dogs getting leptospirosis or whatever. You know, it's just something we'll be living with and getting done.
Right, very good. One of our listeners wondering about a heavy smoker of that age bracket that you're talking about, and there, and any difficulties there where that is concerned, Pat?
I shouldn't think so.
Yeah, well, it would be more difficult, I suppose, if they got the virus being a heavy smoker, I suppose.
Well, geez, I wouldn't imagine if you're 85 plus and you're a heavy smoker, I wouldn't certainly be harassing them to give it up at this stage. You know?
Right.
But, It would be an awful wrench to them. Although people surprise you. Many a person came up at that age and said to me, I don't know what I was spending all my money on for all those years, but this is the dog.
Incredible, isn't it? Yeah. You're going to talk to us a bit about digestion as well, Pat, because it's a big issue for an awful lot of people.
Oh, absolutely is. Yeah. And I was just thinking about the digestive system. If you have time, Fran, I'll do a quick run through it.
Yes, please.
And we'll start off with when you eat at all. The first thing is it's the kind of a system where it's like getting onto the road or something. And if you're going on a journey, and the big thing is breaking down the food. And most people sort of don't notice that these all. They kind of slurp it down and they're on the phone or on a telly or something like that. But there's a thing called mindfulness eating. And this is a great way to lose weight. You actually think about what you're eating. And you chew well and think about it. And bring your awareness to what you're doing. And it takes about 20 minutes to beat your stomach. You know, if you eat something, it takes 20 minutes for the stomach to tell the brain that you're full.
Mm.
So if you try, you don't try to beat the 20 minutes.
Right, so the slower you eat, is that what you mean,
Pat? Eat slowly. Like your mother told you, eat slowly, chew your food. It makes a huge difference what goes on down below. And down it goes, down the esophagus is what they used to call the windpipe. It's a very bad name for it because there's no wind going through it at all. It's the esophagus. And that is that isn't really good at handling acid. And some people have a kind of a loose thing called the hiatus hernia.
Mm-hmm.
Right where that connects with the stomach, and the acid splashes up and burns it. So that's now if you get a lot of what they call heartburn, especially if it's new ones that you're above about 50 or something like that, you should get that checked into. But there's great medication for the acid. And then there's a lot of talk about a little bug called H. pylori. And H. pylori lives in your gut, and about 50% of the people in the world have H. pylori. And it has no consequence at all. But if the acid in your tummy starts wearing away a hole, which they call an ulcer, the H. pylori kind of run around and they won't let it heal. So sometimes they give you antibiotics and other tablets for a week to kill it.
Mm.
So that's what that's about.
But and is that an ulcer, Pat? Is that?
Well, you get your ulcer, but the H. pylori is like a little, I always like a little crowd of rabbits. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of hopping in and out of it. So the ulcer doesn't really heal up unless they're eradicated. And that basically means killed. So they kill the poor little H. pylori and then your ulcer heals up beautifully.
Mm.
But the mainstay of treatment for these things is the azole tablets. They're called omeprazole, lansoprazole, you know, that's enzinol. Mm. Which and sometimes you take them for a course or something, but most people you just take them when you get a bit of heartburn. You know, a lot of people, if they eat bacon or drink whiskey or whatever aggravates it, whatever you're having yourself, you know.
Mm.
But the thing is to be very careful of any chance of this problem swallowing or loss of weight. There could be something going on with the esophagus. And then you got the stomach, and then you move down to the duodenum, a great place for ulcers too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stress really adds to that. You remember the greed is good, Gordon Gekko, all those guys, the executives, they don't say, I have three ulcers, I have four ulcers, you know.
Yeah, they're almost proud of it. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they just have a swig of milk and magnesium and then ruin somebody's life, you know. But stress really does that. And kids especially really feel stress in the stomach.
Mm.
You know, I'd say now the poor old even starts.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Waiting to see we're getting the vaccine, I felt very like an even cert. You know, it's just if you're told one bloody way or the other, you know, you can kind of get on with things.
Yeah.
But stress is a huge thing with ulcers in your stomach, because when you get stressed, you secrete acid. And kids, a lot of kids get a kind of a knot in their stomach.
Mm.
You know, especially the ones in the days when they did go to school, who were bullied at school or something like that.
Yeah.
They get a real pain on a Sunday night or Monday morning, and they're not making it up. They really feel it. It's like the stomach is going into a sort of a spasm. And then we'll sort of move on down to the small intestine, which generally doesn't bother you as much. You don't see as much appendicitis as you used to.
Mm.
And I noticed coming out of the hospital, they seem to be taking appendicitis a fair bit with antibiotics these days.
Oh.
So it's a kind of an encouraging thought, because, I mean, I often saw many a poor kid, you know, and you'd be pressing on the tummy, you think, Jesus, that's where the appendix is, we have to send you in. And they go absolutely white. They think, Jesus, I'm going to be operated on, and they're terrified. Not necessarily.
Mm.
So, but, you know, you don't sort of ignore things, and the appendix is in you. If you put your right hand down into your right pocket, that's where your appendix is. And then, Fran, we sort of move on to the large intestine, and this sort of comes into the age group of the sort of the 50s, 60s, 70s. They can get a lot of what's called diverticulitis. I mean, the muscle isn't as good as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit saggy, and it gets sort of food caught in it and get inflamed and cramps. And if you know you've got that, the thing is to keep the bowels moving and have lots of healthy And then, right, the, any sort of, one of the things down there is bowel cancer is very, very hereditary. So if you've got anybody in the family with bowel cancer, discuss this with your doctor. You might need a scope, and a scope is no big deal.
Mm.
You go into hospital, a scratch in your hand, up or down, and you wake up and they're giving you toast. You know, it's just nothing really. And right down at the end, then you get the piles.
Mm.
So any sign of blood in your stools is a bad sign. It should be looked into immediately. But the piles, about 50% of people in the world have. So,
cool.
Yeah, so your chemist will sort you out for that. Just sort of look the chemist in the eye and tell them what you've got and keep it coming. For most people, the odd one might need an operation called banding or injecting or something. And that was the digestive system in 4 minutes or there.
It's very interesting indeed, Pat. It sort of concerns me, the advertising for, though, the heartburn. It's as if everybody should have heartburn and take these magic tablets or something that you feel. Should you be careful if you need them quite often, those kind
you
of...
You should, really, yeah. They're kind of different categories, but I mean, if you start getting heartburn and you never had it, that's a bad sign. And sometimes people think it's heartburn and it could be something else, it could be your heart, you know. So, I mean, heartburn is an expression that generally has come to mean sort of stomach pain and sort of up there, you know, where your two ribs meet and
yes.
your breastbone, that's where your stomach sort of sits. And if you get discomfort there and gurgling and acid, but it can be very difficult to tell if it's not something going on with the ticker as well. You know, it's just difficult to know. But if you've ever had heartburn, especially in the 50s, and there is a nasty thing called Barrett's esophagitis. And Barrett's esophagitis means that the acid is doing damage to the bottom of the esophagus. And that needs scoping and that needs looking at. And there's categories of people who need to take heavy doses of these PPIs, these acid tablets, every day. But there's categories of people who might only need one the odd time. And sometimes, you see, you could be putting one, you know, the doctor might want you to take it for a couple of weeks, and 5 years later, you're still taking it, you know. So always kind of checking these things. Or you could be just loading up the tablets and it's going on far too long and you're losing weight and you're feeling dreadful. And then you definitely need to get looked into.
It's very interesting. Pat, listen, thanks very much. We're still getting a lot of people questioning about those who might be immobile at home and in the age bracket you were referring to. But there's nothing definite on how that's going to
there's
be dealt with at the moment.
There's nothing definite. I only mentioned them because they were mentioned them last night and said they won't be forgotten and they will be got to, you know, so they're going to come up with something for them. But you know, they'd be a very... You know, they won't. They just won't be forgotten. I don't worry about that. But for anybody who can stagger or get a lift in at all, and if they don't have a lift, if they don't have a car, and you need to come in, there is provision you can make. You can arrange this. I think there's a kind of an ambulance service, so everybody can take it up with their own equipment. But don't sort of. I know it's started in most surgeries, and I think I'm in the minority. I'm probably one of the last, but. Everybody, when you get the phone call to go in, you can discuss this and say how you can do it and sort it all out.
All right. Well, listen, good luck with that on Friday,
good news,
Pat.
Friend. Take care.
Thanks
you
very
too.
Much indeed.
Bye
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye, Tune. And it's Dr. Pat Harrell speaking to us this morning.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pocone, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pocone, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Tip FM.